was an older sister, much like most, kind of controlling, had to make sure everything was done proper. It was very important to Martha that everything was set up right. She loved to cook, and she loved to clean, and she loved for everyone to notice it. There was something about her that loved others noticing what she did. Like most of us, when I prepare a meal or I prepare for someone to come stay with me, it feels so good to say, "Thank you, what a wonderful job you've done." And Martha was no different. So when Jesus made his way to Bethany with the disciples, she knew she had to ready her house. For see, Jesus always stayed at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He had found an abode there. It's very clear in the scripture that when he would come to Bethany, he would stay with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Martha loved to serve. There was something in her heart that just made her feel good when she had the bed ready and she had the food ready and the house looked wonderful. And by the way, Jesus did have 12 disciples that were coming along as well. So she had a lot of work to do that day, busying herself with all the preparations. I'm sure often she looked at Mary. "Mary, are you going to help me?" Mary, being the motherly type, "There's things for you to do. Mary, you need to come and help." As the evening progressed, Jesus did indeed come into the home of Martha and Mary. He made his way in and he sat down like he always did. And he began to tell story. He began to tell parables. He began to speak life into the disciples and all those who came. You see, there was always a following with Jesus. You see, wherever Jesus went, there were those who came and they listened and they would hear. So it wasn't just the 12 that were there. I'm sure there were many peering in the window and looking in. As many as could would come in. And boy, Martha, she was in her heyday. She was serving everyone. I'm sure she had food and she was putting down pallets and she was making everything ready because this is Jesus. This just wasn't any man. What would you do if Jesus came to your house? I'm sure you'd have the candles going and you'd have your best recipe going and the house would look impeccable. Everything would be right because Jesus was there. And as she worried herself around throughout the rest of the evening, she noticed that her sister Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Much annoyed, she thought Jesus would surely say something because Jesus had to notice her busying herself. Surely Jesus cared about everything she was doing because that's what women did in that day. Women were the ones that were the servants. Women were the ones who made sure everything was ready. Matter of fact, I'm sure even the disciples themselves were a little put out that Jesus didn't say anything about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, the men were the ones who came in. The disciples were the ones who had the ears to hear. People could stay from the outside, but the men were to come in and sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. They were the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They were the one who would take the message, but oh no, not today. Today, Mary found herself at the feet of Jesus. Mary had an experience so deep in her heart that she couldn't leave the feet of Jesus. I can only imagine this one that was so hungry for spiritual truth that she sat and held on to every word he said. They were life to her. They were breath to her. There was something so irresistibly attractive that she could not separate herself from her master. Martha looking to Jesus saying, "Jesus, Jesus, see all that I have to do. Speak to my sister Mary to assist me, for she's not doing anything." And Jesus in his kind way, like he does to you and like he does to me, he spoke to her heart. "Oh, Martha, Martha, you don't understand. What you do in the natural realm is natural. But what Mary is doing in the supernatural realm is eternal. What is happening here at this very moment with Mary will never be taken away from her. You will always have beds to make. You will always have food to prepare. But when it is time to sit and soak at the Savior's feet, time must be given." I'm sure there was something that happened in Martha that day. As I read this passage, I don't see my Heavenly Father rebuking her as much as I see him teaching her. You see, when Holy Spirit speaks to me, he dances with me. When Holy Spirit has to speak to my heart, he woos me in. Holy Spirit has a way of comforting me when I've really messed up and when it's all about me. when I realize I'm putting on a show and I want others to see, Holy Spirit in a tender way woos me in and calls me baby girl and tells me that the show that all see is temporal, but he sees my heart. You see, I believe he did that with Martha that day. It's interesting because the story goes on. We hear the story of Jesus, and he made his way throughout Samaria and Judea, Jerusalem. But whenever he would make his way back into Bethany, he would always stay with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, for they were very close and dear to his heart. He felt safe there. One day, the brother grew ill. Lazarus was about to die. And Mary and Martha sent for Jesus and said, "You must come. Lazarus is about to die, and you can do something. You are Jesus. You heal and you speak. Everyone knows you're the Son of God. You must come." And Jesus purposely waited 4 days for Lazarus to die. 4 days later, he made his way back into Bethany. And Martha, being the first to run to him, said, "Jesus, Jesus, I don't understand. You could have come. You could have healed him." And Jesus, once again, in his tenderness toward Martha, said, "Martha, do you believe in the resurrection?" And Martha said, "Of course, Jesus, you've taught us about the resurrection. I know that one day he will rise." "Martha, Martha, do you believe I am the resurrection?" For the first time, Martha's eyes began to open. For you see, prophetically, Jesus was laying out a picture of his own resurrection. You see, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he looks at Martha and he said, "I'm not talking about there and then. I'm talking about here and now." Making his way to the tomb, he decreed that they would roll away the stone, and he spoke these words, "Lazarus, come forth." Immediate life came back in, breath came back, and Lazarus walked out the tomb. I can only imagine that day there was a shift in Martha's walk with God. There was a shift in her understanding of the supernatural love of the Father. There was a shift in the tenderness of the words of Jesus. He made his way back to the home, and for many months he would come and he would go until the week before his death. The week before his death, everyone knew the mobs were after Jesus. It wouldn't be long that he would die. He had already said that he would be crucified. He already prophesied that he would die for man's sins. And a very intimate and personal and beautiful story in the Bible. We find as he enters back into Bethany, Mary makes her way to her beloved. And she sits down at the feet of Jesus, having taken the only thing of value that she owned, an alabaster jar full of oil, a beautiful scented perfume, the only thing of worth that she had, and she sat down at Jesus' feet. And the Bible tells us that she began to minister by pouring the oil over his feet. And as the tears, literally the Bible says, fell from her cheeks, she took her hair and began to wipe the feet of Jesus. Mary had something that Martha longed for. Lest we become critical of the Marthas in our life, examine your own heart. For I believe there is a time for sitting and there is a time for serving. The problem is most of us have them confused. I want to walk you through this story in a very intimate way. And today I took some time alone, and I just went away, and it was a very intimate time for me. You see, let me explain to you, and part of what I want to teach you, and hopefully help you understand, you can have as much of Jesus as you want to have. You can have as much as a personal experience with Jesus as you want to have. It starts at salvation. We call it a personal relationship, being born again, knowing Jesus. You're introduced to him. You accept him. He's your Savior. But so often, many of us stop there. What has happened these last few years is I'm pressing in and I'm moving in and I'm asking and I'm yearning and I read passages in the Bible, and I sat down today and literally, call me crazy, call me madly in love with Jesus. I just sat there today and I ministered to him because he ministers so much to me. I sat with my tears thanking him for all he's given me. in light of my mom's story last week, reading it, and in light of all the people go through, I minister to Jesus. When's the last time you ministered to Jesus? When's the last time you just sat down and kneeled down and ministered to him and thanked him? And when you get so intimate, see, I believe that physical intimacy is only a reflection of spiritual intimacy. I have experienced with Jesus and Holy Spirit what I can't even ever experience intimately with my husband. And I don't know how to say that and not sound weird. What planet she from? Hopefully out of this world. Because what happens when I submit myself and I receive the love of the Father, the love of Jesus, and I love back, there is an unconditional love that you can't have in the human realm. It's just not possible. You see, for Jesus doesn't have expectations of me. He has pure love. So when I sit down just with him, and let me help you to understand this. It doesn't just happen because you want it. You have to rehearse it. Are you with me? Some of you have come and said, Tammy, I don't know how to do a prayer walk, or I wish I had. It didn't just happen to me because I said, I want to know you better, Jesus. It happened because I went on prayer walks. It happened because there were times in my life when I was being extremely selfish or jealous or angry, and Holy Spirit showed me and I submitted and agreed. It happened because I listen for him and I wait till he speaks. It's because I sacrifice getting up in the morning and going into a prayer room and waiting till he speaks to me. It has come because I have asked, but it has come because I have waited. And I don't know how to tell you, but I have never in my life been happier. I have never in my life seen supernatural things, and I've never in my life been more convinced that we are on the path as women of influence to do something that's going to change the world. I believe God is doing something supernatural, and if I can help you, if I can walk you through it, if I can help teach you, but you have to want it, and you have to rehearse it. Does that make sense to you? I want to walk you through your notes, because I think this might be really helpful to you tonight. Hopefully get your handouts. And these were some things that, can you hand me that one? Thank you, mine. It's blew away. That I really believe are going to hit home to us. And I called this doing versus being. Now, I want you to think about, because we're going to talk a little bit, some coaching stuff tonight about like time balance and time management. Because that's the problem. Some of you will say, I don't have enough time. Listen, if somebody like Anna Mae, who's got four kids and they own their own business as a couple, can start a business like this out of a tragedy or a difficulty or what would appear to be a heartache, we all have time. And God is so amazing. God owns the time. And he has a way. You know, it's like when my stomach's growling around 3 o'clock on this fast, and I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, please make those next two, because I have this, I don't eat till 5, usually 6, but I have one meal, and I'm like, sweet Jesus, just make that clock go quicker. And I go into some prayer time, because that's usually my stomach's really growling, and my fast, where I'm really hungry, I know it's spiritual warfare, and the enemy's trying to get me to eat a Snicker bar so bad. And so I know, you know, I'm stubborn enough to know my battle's against the enemy, and I'm like, just bring it on. And he does, you know, my stomach, and I get weak and faint. I'm like, I just want food. But I go and I pray and I walk and none of us are going to starve. We are Americans, you know. I mean, look at us, goodness. All right, and within 20 minutes it subsides and I've won a victory. Because in the supernatural spiritual realm, some things only happen by prayer and fasting. And I just won. I just won. And I look at him. Somebody just said to me, I don't know. She actually was a gal who shared her story. And she goes, I don't know. It's really hard for me. And I said, look, she said, the enemy's coming against me. I said, when he speaks at you, you speak back louder. When he speaks at you, you speak back louder. You speak life louder back to the enemy. When he tells you you can't, you say, you watch me. Because what happens is we're listening to the wrong voice. We're listening to the wrong voice. So I want to walk you through what I believe the difference is between being and doing. I want to ask you, are you serving or sitting? And I do believe that there's time for both. Let me walk you through these life applications. Number one, distraction will keep you from seeing the Spirit of God. What happened in Martha's life? She was so distracted by what Mary was not doing that she couldn't see what Jesus was doing. Hello, anybody out there, girlfriend? You're so distracted by what somebody's not doing that you can't see what Jesus is doing. You're so wound up, well, how come they're not doing it? How come I'm working? How come I have to do this? Why is God blessing them? I go to church every Sunday. I'm the good. I'm the faithful. I'm this. You're so worried about what everybody else is doing, you can't see what Jesus is doing. And I believe what happens is you have a Martha mentality instead of a Mary heart. Holy Spirit comes when Holy Spirit's ready to come, and he teaches you all things when you are ready. So I believe we've got to just stop right there and ask yourself, what distractions, like, and going through this lesson, like, I made a list, I'm distracted by these things, and I'm a worker bee. I'm definitely a Martha at heart, but I really am working toward being a Mary. So when people don't work, it bothers me. I'm a worker. And so, you know, our staff knows it. You know, I get the little whip out. Not really. I think I'm pretty nice, but I notice it. I'm just being honest. You notice lazy people, and you're like, really? How come? Again, sometimes, like, lazy people seem to get all the blessings. And all that, you're like, really? Really? That's a Martha attitude. Because I'm seeing what I'm doing instead of seeing what Jesus is doing. Let's go on. Next, watching what others are not doing will cause you to have a martyr complex. At work, friends, what everybody else isn't doing, and all of a sudden you come into a martyr mentality. Now, if ever in our country and society, millennials have helped us with this, it is a martyr mentality. Can I get even an amen from some of my millennial little sisters here? And it is this martyr mentality. And listen, you're never going to receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit with a martyr mentality. That's why martyr sounds like Martha. All right, so some of you, martyr Marthas, you know, you need to just get rid of it, get rid of the attitude. Next, some things in life are temporal and some things are eternal. Can you tell the difference? See, I don't believe Jesus had a problem with what needed to be done. He wanted to eat. He knew the disciples needed to eat. Of course, he could call down food from heaven. He doesn't mind us working, and we should work. But you have to know when to work and when to rest. You have to know when to serve and when to sit. See, I am a worker up at this church. I love to work. I love to make sure. I mean, on my way up here, I saw these leaves and everything else, and I didn't want you ladies coming in and seeing all this trash. I see that stuff. And I'm out there with my hands. I'm sweeping. I'm picking it up. I, by nature, am a doer. I'm a worker, and I know that's me. But I also have to know that if I don't discipline myself to rest, I will never see the Father. I won't. You can teach me. You can tell me, I can want it, but I will never receive the intimacy of what the Father has for me if I don't sit at the Master's feet. And guys, I'll just be honest, it takes time, and it takes desire, and it takes effort, and it takes patience, and it takes stillness. But what he gives you is so supernatural that nothing else compares to it. Nothing else compares to it. Martha was older, so she most likely had raised her sister and did most of the work, so she expected her to as well. Here's what I believe the behavior of a busybody looks like, right? They have a martyr mentality. Now, let me just ask, let's get some hands. How many of you feel that you're a real worker bee? Well, we won't call you a Martha, but you like to work. You enjoy working, okay? Do you struggle with taking time to just sit and be alone? Yeah. Yeah, good, I'm not alone. I am not alone. What's that song, I like that song? Okay, so the rest of you are going, yeah, glad that's not me. All right, so here we have, they have this martyr mentality. The disciples were all with Jesus. So now I want you to put yourself in Martha's place. If Jesus is coming to your house and all the disciples and everyone else, there has to be food. There has to be preparations. And you would think Jesus would give her a little slack. But that's the problem is I've justified my behavior to where I haven't seen the Master. I've justified all my doing. Just one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And by the end of the day, I've won my one more thing my way into my bed, and I haven't spent any time with the Father. It's just gone. My day is gone. Here's what I believe they also do. They showcase their work. See, here's what she said, literally, and you've got the scripture right here. She said, "Don't you see all that I'm doing?" See, I believe if you have to tell everybody everything you're doing, you have a Martha mentality. And I can think of two people I know really well who have to make sure that I know what they're doing. By the end, now, oh, I did this, and I had to do this, and I had to do this, and I had to do that. And when you have to tell everyone what you're doing, why are you doing it? You have some kind of internal need for acceptance, for worth, for value, for appreciation. And my girlfriend, that void will never be filled. Because honestly, people don't care. They don't care what you've done all day. You know, they just don't. They want to know you, but I, you know what? I want to go, idiot. Why don't you make some time for yourself? I'm learning to do that. We're going to talk. I literally am learning. Things will get done. Things will get done. And it's amazing. Sometimes I think Jesus does my dishes. I seriously sometimes think, I say, babe, did you clean this up? And he goes, no. And I go, I didn't either. Yeah. It's done. It's like, see, so, I mean, I don't hold me that one. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus if he did my dishes. Because things just get done around my house when I spend time with the Father. So they have to showcase their works. Next, they have an attitude of frustration. Now this just, some of you are going, oh my, she knows me. I am a Martha. They're just frustrated all the time. They're frustrated and they're anxious and you get around them and you get nervous. Do you have those kind of friends where I've got so much to do today and I just don't know how I'm going to get it all done and I just don't know, and you're like, oh man, I need a break from you. You know, they're just like those kind of people, right? And that's how Martha was. I got all this to do, Jesus. I got all this stuff to do. And that's a busybody. That's a busybody. I love that later it talks about in John 2, it says that this was really good. This is a story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in the scripture, it says, Martha was still serving even after Jesus raised Lazarus. So it tells us in John 2, she's still serving everyone. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I think she was missing the mark. Here's what I believe the behavior of simply being is. They're a good listener and a learner, and they don't mind sitting at the Lord's feet. You know, we can be really critical of these two sisters, but I think honestly within us, both sisters reside. And so it's not a matter of are you a Mary or a Martha, it's who are you today and who are you right now. I think next, not looking for affirmation. You know, if I need you to affirm me, then my issue is more with the Father than it is with you. See, I think as women, we all need affirmation. And I believe that it's a real enemy, something that the enemy really uses in our life. Because if I don't get enough affirmation, I'm going to continue to work until someone notices what I'm doing. You know, in ministry, you know, and part of it is I'm a life coach, and so I like affirming people, and our staff will attest to this. I'm constantly affirming them. But sometimes I think I affirm them too much. Okay, now listen to me, because if I don't affirm them, then first of all, they wonder what they did wrong, or if I don't affirm them, then they're mad at me next time I didn't affirm them, okay? And they don't always need to be affirmed, because sometimes they need to be rebuked, not our staff. But listen to me, what if I sat and I just had affirmation from the Father? Today when I sat alone, and I told a couple of my assistants this morning I wasn't going to come in because I just needed some day to just sit with the Father. I had been so busy the last couple of days, and I sat there. And it was the most remarkable experience as I sat there, and I literally did minister to Jesus with everything that I could think. I just sat, I got away from everybody, I was all by myself. And the minute I began to minister to Jesus, he began to affirm me. He began to tell me that I was loved. And there was nothing I could do. Anything that I could do to receive that love except just receive it. There's nothing he expected me to do because his love is a pure love and it's given freely. And it was almost as if I was wanting to do this thing for him, but he in return did it for me. And that's what affirmation looks like. I believe the behavior of simply being is transformational. See, when he looked and he said, Martha, you don't understand. What you're doing is temporal. What Mary's doing is eternal. Let me ask you what you've stored up in heaven. I mean, sometimes we forget. We love all of our nice stuff here. Do you realize that when you get to heaven, the Bible says that you are storing up your treasure in heaven? What kind of shacks are you guys going to have? Or me? I wonder sometimes, and I say that because do you realize what we will have in heaven is what we will lay at the Master's feet? It's not so that you can have a nice big fat house in heaven. It's so that you can sit down and say, worthy is the Lamb. and give back to the Father what he so rightly deserves. That's what we do on earth, that we can give him in heaven. I want to walk through a little coaching exercise on the back of your page, and then you're going to do your small group questions. But I believe that all of it has to do with time. And if I ask you, just if you looked over your day or your week, how did you spend your time? Okay? And so these are just some good coaching questions for you, to be honest enough. And everything we do here at Women of Influence, if you'll take these tools and you'll really work on them, you'll get alone. Because, you know, there's something I say all the time, and I believe it is true. I tell people or clients all the time, you are where you want to be. Because if you wanted to be somewhere else, you'd find a way to get there. You don't like the way you look. You want to lose weight. You want to know Jesus better. You want a better relationship with your husband. You want your house clean. You want your kids to have better grades. You will pay the price for what you really want. And if you really want to press into the Father, there's certain things you have to do that. And spending time with him is one. Time is a precious gift from God. We each have 24 hours in a day, but few have learned the art of time balance. I want to challenge you this week to take an inventory of how well you managed your precious time and your personal time. So I want you to write down and just begin to think about this. How much time do you spend sitting with Jesus? And maybe some of you would say, it's been a long time since I've sat with Jesus. And that's okay. I think you need to write it down and you need to look at it. You might want to put, it's been days, it's been weeks, it's been a month, it's been a year since I really sat with Jesus. How much time do you spend serving others? And then after you put down, and I know a lot of you are mamas and you have jobs and you have companies, but I just feel like, how much time are you really serving others? And then how much time do you spend on yourself? This could be a good thing or a bad thing. Some of you might spend more time than you should on yourself. It was crazy today. Okay, I have to tell the story. So I broke a nail. And that happens. And so I get there, I thought, I got to go get my nails done. It's been 6 weeks since I've had it. They're all growing out. They look, and I'm sitting there, and I can't wait to get out of there. It's like, I'm just like, because I've got all this stuff I've got to do, and I'm sitting there, I can't even relax to go get my nails done. And all of a sudden, I just love the Spirit, because he came to me and he said, we can have time here too. Does that resonate with anybody? We can have time here too. And I sat there, so see what I'm saying is, you can spiritually multitask. All right? And I sat there while I usually try to convert who's ever doing my nails, because that's just kind of, and I thought, you know, send someone else to her, Jesus. And I just sat there and I just enjoyed having my nails done. Now that's just my story, because I'm a worker bee. Anybody struggle with things like that? Just allow, so some of this, you need some time maybe to pamper yourself. Some of you mamas, you need some time. The Father wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you. Spend time with this girl. Some of you need some alone time. Don't tell everybody how hard you're working. Don't tell us that we should feel sorry for you. Have some better time balance. It's your responsibility. Every one of us, and I'm getting the coaching part here. I don't feel sorry for us when we get ourselves working too hard. That's my responsibility. I have to do something about it. And the last one, how much time do you waste? And for some of us, it's probably too much. Amen. So what I want us to do right now is I want us to just, as we get ready to go into our small group, I want you to begin to ask yourself, am I a Mary? Am I a Martha? Am I sitting or am I serving? I believe we're to do both. You know, we need workers. I mean, we have wonderful women. They come and they greet, and we have wonderful women that bring snacks and all kinds of, man, get some of those cookies, guys. They don't want to take them all home. They serve, they minister, but they also pray. I watch them worship. I said, see, that's what we're talking, time balance here, right? Time balance. And how is your time balance? So ask yourself, am I in the Martha camp? Am I in the Mary camp? Am I serving, am I sitting, or am I doing both? Okay? Father, we just come, and this I love the story. I love that you have so many beautiful stories weaved in the Word of God. And Father, I today on our walk that you and I had to confess to you that I've just lived such a life of service. And I believe that you've given me the heart of a servant, and so sometimes that's even harder because I enjoy it, and I want to serve you, and I want to serve others, and I want to be a great minister, and I have that heart. And that's just honest between you and I. But Father, I also know that I have to discipline myself to pull away from people. I have to discipline myself to sit at the Father's feet. And Jesus, I don't know if I've explained well enough the intimacy that you and I had today, but I pray that the women here tonight would just take a few minutes this week alone and sit at your feet. Hold your feet in their hands and worship you and minister to you and thank you. There's something so intimate when we stop with everything we have and simply be. Father, Mary understood it. Mary really did understand the intimacy of a holy and a righteous God. God, right now, just in my heart and my mind, I'm just really seeing what this young girl experienced when she sat at your feet. And God, I want that. I want that. I want that. There's just something so powerful about that. So God, teach us to simply be and to allow you to minister to us. And I pray this week, Father, as we go about our task and our duties, that you bring this story back to us often, that you convict our hearts. And hopefully, God, I just love how you do this beautiful dance with me when you need to bring me to conviction, how you just gently pull me in and speak in my ear and correct me, because, Father, I don't want to be separated from you. I want to be close to you. So, Father, I pray for the divine dance. I pray for the divine romance of the Father with every woman in here this week. I pray that our intimacy will grow deeper and deeper, and that we would look into the eyes of Jesus and be healed and whole and know you in a way we've never known you before. For, Father, you love your daughters, and you love us dearly. We thank you for the lessons you have tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.